Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. And with just everything that's been said in the service, I feel like the Lord has just lined everything out for us. Amen. And I praise the Lord when He does that. He makes it easy for us. And it's so much easier to come to church, and it's so much better to come to church when the Lord is at home. Amen. And you know what I mean by that tonight. Amen. We're going to try to be just as brief as we can tonight, but I want to give you some of these thoughts that the Lord has given us. And I think it'll just go right in line with everything that much that's been testified about this evening. All right. Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. And good to be in church tonight. Appreciate the good spirit. And amen. You just continue to mind the Lord throughout the rest of the service and the message. And amen. Just do what He wants you to do tonight. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. And look with me in verse number 1. Song of Solomon 2 in verse number 1. Said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. And I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O you daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. The voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethel. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you so much, Lord, for moving in this service tonight. Thank you, Lord, for how you've touched our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for those that have testified, Lord, in obedience to you. Thank you, Lord, for the good reminders, God, of your grace, Lord, your mercy, your love. God, you watch care in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for how you lead us about, and Lord, how you guide us, Father. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, through your word tonight. God, we rejoice in the things that you have done. But Lord, above all that, Lord, we rejoice in who you are. And God, we thank you that you are the Lord, and beside you there is none else, Lord, that we can look to you and we can be saved. Thank you for sending a Savior. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on an old rugged cross. And Lord, as we even prepare, Lord, in these coming days to celebrate the resurrection, I pray, Lord, that that would be a constant blessing, a constant reminder, Lord, in our heart, that you are alive forevermore. And Lord, we can have a living, breathing relationship with you. And thank you, Lord, for taking the initiative. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for going all the way to Calvary, for dying for our sins, bearing that sin, that load, and paying that debt. And Lord, rising again, we thank you, Lord, that you are alive forevermore. We love you. We thank you for loving us. I pray that you'd help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm interested in this chapter tonight. If you're familiar with this book, you know tonight that this is a love story. This is a love song. We could even say it like this. And Solomon wrote this book. We believe this is a commentary, or really a summary of the love that he had for the first woman that he ever loved in the time of his youth. We know that Solomon wrote this book. He also wrote Ecclesiastes, and he wrote many parts of the Proverbs and even a couple Psalms. And the Bible talks about this relationship between Solomon and this Shulamite woman or this Shulamite girl. And as the story progresses, we see here in chapter number 2 that this would actually be what we would come to know as is the wedding ceremony. They're coming together in union. And then this would be the beginning of what we would call in our society the honeymoon. We know what that is. That is that time of coming together of the husband and wife, of beginning to enjoy each other's company and beginning to settle down and adjust to the changes in life and starting their life together. Whenever we consider this book, this book, of course, is a book of romance tonight. Amen. It shows this love between Solomon and this young woman tonight. And many of the themes and many of the ideas in this book tonight have a romantic or a connotation of love within them. And so it's not only a book of romance, but it's a book of redemption tonight. Amen. The Jews, of course, viewed this book as a picture of Jehovah God and Israel, his wife, and how God continually draws them in cords of love. And one day there is a kingdom coming. The Jews believe that. There is a conclusion to the story. There is a conclusion to the love of God. But then we as Christians tonight would look at this as a picture of Christ and the church. And if we would even take a step further into that tonight, we not only see it as a picture of Christ and the church, but we see it as a picture of Christ and ourselves as individual believers tonight. Amen. Thank God. The Bible says in John chapter number 3 and verse number 16 that God so loved the world. Amen. And we go further in the book of Ephesians, we see, thank God, listen, that Jesus loved the church and he gave himself for it. And then Paul says, in Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. And he talked about how Christ was crucified for me and he loved me. And thank God, it is a personal relationship and a personal thing with God tonight. And so we see it's a book of romance, it's a book of redemption, but then it is a book of relationship. Just like a husband and wife are married, the honeymoon does not have to end. Thank God the home fires can continue to burn, and that's typical of our relationship with the Lord. Listen, the joy of our salvation does not have to go away. The honeymoon does not have to end tonight. Amen. We can have victory and we can enjoy our walk with the Lord. Amen. We do not have to endure it tonight, but we can enjoy it. Hallelujah. And so whenever we look at these things tonight, we see this relationship blossoming and this relationship maturing here in chapter number 2. They would be married at this time and they are talking to one another. They are doting upon one another. We could say it like this. They were flirting with one another. Amen, sir. It'd be good if you'd still flirt with your wife. Amen. That might keep things lively at the house. Amen. That might keep some energy in the relationship tonight. And that's exactly what they're doing. They are complimenting one another. They are talking about one another and they are expressing with their words what is present in their heart tonight. Amen. And as she longs for him and as she desires for him, there's something interesting that takes place here in chapter number 2. There is a time of separation. They're not always spending time together. You know, the man has to go to work. He has to leave. He has to make a living. And as the wife is there at home, the thoughts of him are continually in her heart tonight. She is enraptured with his appearance and enraptured with the way that he makes her feel. And while they are separated, here is what the Word of God says. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. She said, "My beloved is like a roe or a young hart Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. As she is longing for him and as she is looking for him, she sees him out laboring and working and tending the estate and tending the property. And no doubt, as a giddy young woman, she would maybe follow him around the property. She could not get enough of him, but she couldn't always be clingy with him. She couldn't always be attached, but as she makes her way around the estate and makes her way around the home, we see this picture here in the Word of God. There's a wall, amen, and there are some windows, and there is lattice there in the construction of the wall or the building, and she catches a glimpse of the one that she loves, amen. She gets to see just a small glimpse, just a quick scene of him, and then he's gone again, amen. But it does her heart good, amen, just to see him, just to lay eyes on him for a moment, just to see that he's there. Boy, no doubt the joy that it brings to her heart, just to catch a glimpse of him. And like tonight's service, amen, I think that's exactly what he's done. He's given us just a little glimpse of himself. He's allowed us to see that he's still faithful. He's allowed us to see that he's still moving. He's allowed us to see that he still loves us. Boy, how he's moved from breast to breast and heart to heart and given people what they need in the service. And tonight we've just seen a glimpse of who he is tonight. Amen. Now, I want to preach on this subject for just a few moments tonight. I want to talk to you for a few moments about some glimpses of grace. Amen. Some glimpses of grace as she is following him around in love, as she is longing for him and as she is looking for him. I want you to see three manifestations of his grace, or three pictures of his grace quickly here in the Word of God tonight. Number one, I want you to see this. I want you to see his grace conquering. Amen. His grace conquering tonight. Notice what the Bible goes on to say there in the beginning of the chapter. They talk with one another, and as they are expressing their love for one another, we have some great descriptive language tonight. Here is what the Bible says. The Bible says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. That didn't mean that she was sick of the relationship. It had just begun, but she was love sick. Amen. She loved who he was and loved everything about him. And she was satisfied in him and satisfied with him. And let me just say it like this. He did it for her. Amen. Listen, he cranked her tractor, everything that she desired and everything that she long for. Thank God he was able to fit in those missing pieces and to make her complete. Amen. Here's what the Bible says. At the voice of my beloved in verse number 8, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. He had joy, amen, and he had a desire for her, and there wasn't any amount of separation that was going to keep him away from her, amen. There wasn't any obstacle that was going to keep him from her presence and keep her from his presence. Amen. Tonight, listen, there was a time of separation. There were some obstacles that were present, and she longed for him. You know, I think she had the same desire that every young American girl has, or every other girl in the world for that matter. She just wants a man to love her. She wants her Prince Charming to come along and to have a life with him. I think that's the desire of every every young woman to have a man to love her and to provide for her and to make her complete. And there was a time where she did not know him. Amen. There was a time where she was separated from him. There was a time where her heart was incomplete. Oh, but thank God for the day he looked down in that valley and he saw her and he took the initiative and he came to where she was. And there, thank God, listen, there wasn't any amount of separation. There wasn't any amount of obstacles that was going to keep him from her. Hey, do you remember like it was when you were lost in sin? You remember like it was when you didn't know him? Your heart was incomplete and you couldn't make all the pieces fit. And there was a longing for something that you could not understand. Oh, but thank God for the day that he came to where you were. And thank God everything fit together and your heart was set right and you found everything that you needed and you were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God. Listen, we were separated because of sin. Oh, but thank God one of these days for the joy that was set before him. He set his face like a flint toward the mountain. He set his heart on Calvary and he went and he did what he needed to do. He did what only he could do and he bore our sin debt and he bore our shame and thank God he said it is finished. And now all of that longing, all of those desires that the world cannot fulfill, somebody testified tonight about people needing the Lord and not even understanding who or what they need. There being a void in their heart. Amen. Every individual born into this world has a Jesus-shaped hole in their heart. And they'll try to do things and try to find money and pleasure in this world. Do different things. A job and chasing a dollar. And people turn to sin and they'll fornicate and they'll drink liquor and they'll go to the parties and try to have a good time and they're shoving those things in trying to find peace. But until Jesus Christ sits on the throne room of your heart and until he conquers your soul and he's the Lord of your life, you'll never have peace, you'll never have contentment, and you'll never have happiness and true joy. But we see his grace conquering. Those mountains were like little hills to him and what it took to get to his love. Amen. Listen, Calvary was just a stepping stone. Amen. Calvary was just a piece of the picture. Calvary was just a piece of the puzzle. Amen. And thank God Jesus was willing and he was able to do what needed to be done to redeem us and to set us right with him. Amen. Whenever I think about his conquering grace tonight, I see the distinction. Notice what they said in verse number 1. He said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Verse number 2, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Amen. Listen, chapter number 2 opens up with a distinction concerning each character. Amen. They're talking about each other. But here's the interesting part. In the opening part of chapter number 2, he begins to talk about himself. Amen. He said, I am the rose of Sharon. Listen, everything begins and everything ends with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are because he is tonight. Amen. He said, as a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. There was a distinction about him and there was a distinction about her. Amen. Thank God he is the rose of Sharon. And Brother Jack, he is the lily of the valleys. Amen. He is the bright and morning star. Thank God he is my God and my portion in the land of the living. Amen. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. There's nobody like him tonight. He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I am the Lord and there is none else. There's nobody like him tonight. Amen. Thank God he is God. Amen. And there is none other tonight. Amen. And just as there is a distinction concerning him, there's a distinction concerning her. He said, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. A lily sprung up there in the valley among those thorns. A lily among this world. You say, who is that? That's the church. Amen. That's the redeemed. That is the object of His love and His affection. And just there, as there is a distinction concerning our Savior, there's a distinction concerning the church tonight. Amen. I understand God loves the world, doesn't He? But you need to know this, that the love for that He has for His church and the relationship that He has for His church is a different whole. It's a whole different scenario. Amen. We have preached so much on the love of God that I think that we have convinced sinners that the love that He has for the church and that the love that He has for the world, there's no distinction between it. So if God loves me as I am and Jesus died for me, then you know I'm good to go. I'm just as good as the church. Oh, no, no, listen to me. Whenever you get saved, you enter into a covenant. Amen. You enter into a relationship. You enter into a contract that can never be made null and void. Amen. Listen, the world will never have that outside of Christ. That religion will never have that outside of Christ. Oh, but understand there is a love that will endure for all eternity and a love that will endure for the ages. Why? Because He conquers tonight. Amen. And He has made us more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I see His grace conquering, but then I see His grace communicating. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 8. She said, the voice of my beloved. Behold, He cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roer, young hart. Behold, He standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing Himself through the lattice. As she looks for Him, as she longs for Him, she hears His voice. I want you to see quickly tonight, it's a twofold voice. Number one, it is that voice of redemption. We mentioned the cross of Calvary there in verse number 8. He cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. He has conquered Mount Calvary, that voice of redemption. But then notice this, there's the voice of rapture. Amen. That first time He calls, it's a call of redemption. That second time He calls, it's a call of rapture. Amen. You say, what do you mean by that? Verse number 13, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. I don't have time to go into all this, but the fig tree and the vine are typical, are types of Israel in the Word of God. The sage is being set. The fruit is beginning to bud. Amen. Israel is moving into motion. Everything in the Middle East is prepared. And then there's a voice. Amen. Listen, He said, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. There's no mistake that He said, arise, amen, my fair one, and come away. Thank God there's coming a day and an hour, hallelujah, where He's going to call His bride out of here. And the same God, same grace that saved us is the same grace that will sustain us until He calls us to Himself. Amen. I thank God that He still has something to say. I thank God that His voice is ever present and He desires to call to His church and communicate grace to our heart and our life tonight. Amen. We see His grace conquering. We see His grace communicating. And then I've got to hurry tonight. We see His grace caring. His grace caring. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 14. Oh, my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. We see grace caring. We're reminded of prayer. In His affection, in verse number 14, He talks about the clefts of the rock and the secret places of the stairs. He said, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely. There is a desire all throughout the book on His part, and there is a desire all throughout the book on her part to see one another and hear one another and to develop and to enjoy that relationship. And quickly, I'll say this, we're not going to do that outside of prayer, amen, outside of that secret place, outside of going in to commune with Him, amen. You never talk to your wife or your husband, ma'am or sir, you're not going to have a very good relationship. Now, you're married, and nothing's going to change that. But that is your position. Amen. But what about your relationship tonight? Amen. You can be married just as much as anybody else is. You have the license. It can be, you know, hanging on the wall beside you, the picture you took the day you got married, you know. And I don't even know if people do that anymore. I know they used to do that. And marriage used to be a bigger deal, amen, in our society than it is now. Amen. Listen, more than my ordination papers, more than any Bible college degree, I am more thankful and more proud for my marriage certificate tonight. Amen. Because listen, our house may burn down and the certificate may burn up, but the vows that were made that day, that covenant that we entered into, you can tear up the paper, you can burn the house down, you can lose all the pictures, but there ain't anything that will change the position and change the status of it. Two hearts came together as one. Amen. And it's the same way with the Lord tonight. If you're saved, you're saved. And there ain't anything that anybody can do about it. Not some devil in hell, not some backslid Baptist. Thank God, listen, you are saved tonight. But because you're saved, there is a relationship that is present. If you never talk to your wife, sir, and you ever talk to your husband, ma'am, you're not going to have much of a relationship. And it's the same way with the Lord tonight. If we don't talk to Him, if we don't spend time in His presence, we're really not going to know Him tonight. Amen. And I think that's a great principle set forth in this chapter, that communication, that relaying of that affection tonight. Amen. And so we see His grace caring concerning affection. And then, of course, access, talking about those stairs. There again, the place of prayer and talking about that communication in relationship. And then, because He cares tonight, He gives a warning. About those pitfalls. We see the place of prayer and then that communication and then the pitfalls there in verse number 15. He said, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. It's not the big things, and we've heard this time and time again, but it's not the big things tonight that necessarily rob us of our relationship with Him. It's not the big things that rob us of the power of God. Listen, there's some of us tonight, there's absolutely no temptation to ever go out and commit adultery. There's no temptation to ever go out and just get sot drunk and make a fool of ourselves and paint the town red. Some of us have got that down, all right? You're not going to go out and commit murder. But what about that murder in your heart? What about that adultery in your heart? What about the envy and the strife and the jealousy and the malice? Those little things that we seemingly ignore, those acceptable sins in society that we wink at and scoff at. Listen, those are the things that rob us of our fellowship. Those are the things that rob us of the power and the presence of God in our life. And He said, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's those little sins in our life that keep us from being fruitful. It's those little things in our life that hinder our walk. And you know what those things are in your heart and your life. Amen. 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 It might not be something that's even inherently outright sinful, but it becomes sinful when it becomes an idol in your life. And it's something that you feel like you just can't live without. But I promise you this, whatever you give up for His honor and His glory, He's going to replace it with something so much better tonight. Amen. He's going to give you Himself, time spent with Him, communion taken advantage of with Him tonight. Amen. And then lastly, I'll give you this. We see the affection, we see the access, and then concerning His caring grace, we see the assurance. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 16. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Now you remember what she said in chapter number 2. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters, or excuse me, he speaks this concerning her. She is a lily among thorns. And then she declares in verse number 16 that he is mine and she is his. And here's what she says. She said, he feedeth among the lilies. Amen. She is a lily among the thorns. And in verse number 16, he comes, he feeds among the lilies. He is there present among the lilies. And thank God, listen, we find Jesus in the midst of the church. Amen. Thank God for the blessing of his presence and the assurance of knowing that we are his and he is ours tonight. Amen. And listen to me, that's something that the world will never be able to take away from you tonight, the fact that you belong to him and he belongs to you tonight. Amen. Thank God there is an ever-present relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can enjoy that tonight. Amen. We can take advantage of that. But we see that he is hers and she is his. But then we not only have that assurance of that relationship again, but thank God, listen, we have that assurance of his coming. The time when the separation will be done away with. She has to look through the lattice. She has to catch glimpses of him behind the wall and through the window. And it pains her heart to be away from him, and pains her heart that they just can't be together all the time. Man, you start reading about this girl and you realize that she is really, really clingy. She wants him. She wants to be where he is. I mean, she just don't want to hold his hand. I mean, she wants to be transferred into his DNA or something. I mean, she wants to ride around on a piggyback with him, be where he is all the time, feel him, touch him, smell him, know his embrace, and know his presence. And can I say that when we get our heart where we need to be with the Lord, listen, it'll be that way with us tonight. Just to be where God is. Doesn't matter if it's at church. Doesn't matter if it's in the prayer closet. Doesn't matter where it is. We just want to be where he is. And I've got good news for us tonight. There's coming a day where we'll forever be in his presence tonight. Here's what she said. She said, until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or young hart upon the mountains of Bethel. That word Bethel means separation. Turn and be like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethel, or the mountains of separation. She acknowledges the fact that they're apart. She acknowledges the fact that she can't be with him all the time. But there is an assurance in her heart that he is hers and she is his, and nobody can take that away. And while she is waiting and while she is longing, thank God she encourages her own heart that there is coming a day where one day he's going to leave the field. One day he's going to leave that place that he's departed to, and he's going to come back again. And there'll be no more separation, and there'll be no more veil, and there'll be no more just catching a glimpse of him, because she'll be with him. And thank God, one of these days we'll be with him and we'll be like him and we'll be forever in his presence. But until then, I'm glad we've got services like we've got tonight, where every once in a while he'll just show us a glimpse of his grace. He'll show us a little bit of himself. And whether it be in your Bible reading, whether it be in your prayer time, whether it be in the song sung at the church, or whether it be in the message preached by the preacher, you ought to look for him tonight. Amen. And do everything you can just to catch a glimpse of his grace. Because if you look for him tonight, if you seek him upon the promise of the Word of God, if you seek him, you'll find him. He's not trying to hide himself from you. He's not trying to withhold himself from you. Sometimes he just wants to be sought out. You know how it feels tonight? Sometimes it's just good to be appreciated. Sometimes it's good. Sir, ma'am, you ought to look at your spouse. Tell them that you love them. It's good to be appreciated. We're made in the image of God. Amen. I believe tonight every emotion that we are capable of feeling I believe that our God is capable of feeling it. And it may just be sometimes that He just wants to be appreciated, that He wants to be loved, that He wants to be adored, that He wants to be worshiped. When's the last time you told Him tonight? Amen. He's been faithful to show you Himself. He's been faithful when you've been downtrodden. He's been faithful when you could not see Him and you prayed and you longed for the day when you could feel His presence again. He's always been faithful to show up. But how is it on our part tonight? Amen. How is our affection? How is our love in being thankful for what He's done for us?